Now, last year, some of you were lucky enough to meet Jessica Ahlquist at our Hartford convention, or you've seen her at other conferences all over the country, where she has impressed us so much with her poise and her passion and her dedication and her courage in defending secular public education in the face of an unusually personal and venomous attack, not just in her school, but throughout the state of Rhode Island. And you know that in January, she won a resounding federal court ruling agreeing with her that a large prayer on a banner permanently erected in the gym of her public high school was inappropriate and unconstitutional. Everybody loves a winner, right? But that truism does not apply to the highly Catholic state of Rhode Island. And she was promptly labeled, libeled, an evil little thing by her own state legislator on a radio program. And for a time, she was attending her high school under police escort, which is something we have not seen since the 50s and early 60s with desegregation in the United States. So we were so thrilled with Jessica's victory that we wanted to do this very small, minor thank you. And FFRF tried to send Jessica flowers. And here's a TV segment about what happened.
A judge orders a school prayer banner hanging inside Cranston West High School for decades be taken down.
Tonight, we've learned one organization is applauding the decision and wants to send flowers to the student who started the fight.
But many local florists don't want anything to do with it and are refusing to make those deliveries.
Eyewitness News reporter Susan Campbell joins us now with the latest developments from the West Bay Mobile Newsroom in Cranston.
The phone calls started on Wednesday morning, and they haven't stopped, all because Marina Plowman and several other Rhode Island florists have refused to deliver a dozen roses to Jessica Ahlquist. She's the 16-year-old student at the center of the Cranston West prayer banner debate.
We chose not to make the delivery because, first of all, most important, it's our belief system. So we tried to overlook things mostly, to be tolerant for others' beliefs, but we just felt that that has gone too far.
I have the right to refuse any order I choose to. And I did.
The flower delivery controversy all started on Tuesday when the co-president of the Wisconsin-based Freedom from Religion Foundation ordered a dozen roses to be sent to Ahlquist. The accompanying message was supposed to read, "Congratulations and hang in there," with admiration from FFRF.
I might stand to make $15 for that. Why should I put myself at risk?
We're told a florist in Putnam, Connecticut has agreed to make that flower delivery. Live with the West Bay Mobile Newsroom, Susan Campbell, Eyewitness News.
We don't refuse orders, okay?
But this time you did.
Yes, we did.
Now, it is illegal to refuse to do service for somebody on the basis of religion. It would be as if you went into a grocery store and you were starving, and they said, "We won't sell anything to you because you are an atheist, or you're black, or you're Jew," under the Civil Rights Act. And we got word just last week that the Freedom from Religion Foundation's human rights complaint in Rhode Island has gone forward. They have found probable cause that Jessica's and our civil liberties were indeed violated. It was not just three, it was four florist shops. I should say that's probable cause and it will move forward, so it's very promising. And in a minute we're going to do something else about that with flowers, but I wanted to tell you that Jessica's continuing her senior year with a tutor, and that is allowing her to, I think, escape a lot of this harassment, but also she can travel without missing too much work. We're very glad she came here. She has been on the road and away from home for 4 weeks, traveling solo, speaking about the importance of separation of church and state. Jessica was last year's Thomas Jefferson Youth Activist recipient. She was this year's Thomas Jefferson Student Activist recipient, thanks to the Eisenbergs. She was FFRS first recipient of an Atheist in Foxhole support fund that we launched this year. And we are now awarding her a Freethinker of the Year award. But this is an award that we started back in 1985. We lauded the Supreme Court victor, Ishmael Jaffrey, who had won an important case against prayer in the schools. It is a reward reserved for litigants, mainly litigants or state church complainants, who successfully stop a violation of the separation between religion and government. And I noticed in looking through the awards that it got kind of thin in the 2000s, given our very hostile court decision. Her victory was major. And at 17, she's the second youngest recipient of the Freethinker of the Year. Now, before we give her that award, Katie, we want Jessica to come up. We have some flowers to deliver. That was Katie Daniel. Thank you, Katie. And then we want Karen, if she can, Karen Eisenberg, to come up and do the honors. Is that Len? Was Karen going to come up and do the honors? Here. This is the plaque, and I'm going to have Karen give it to you.
Well, thank you, everyone. And thank you for these flowers. They're beautiful. First, let me give my biggest thanks to the Freedom From Religion Foundation, of course, and to everybody here, and a special thanks to the Eisenbergs, who really help support students like Max and myself. Like Annie Laurie said, I was honored with the Thomas Jefferson Student Activist Award last year, and I was dizzy with happiness, quite literally. And today I feel exactly the same way to be receiving this award. And I can give you my thanks all day, but I will never be able to fully express how wonderful and supportive the Freedom From Religion Foundation has been to me. The story I'm going to tell you was certainly no walk in the park for me, but it was made possible by the people who came to fight at my side, and that was Annie Laurie and Dan and all of you, and you are some of the coolest, bravest people I have ever met, and thank you for everything you do. One year ago, I spoke at the Freedom From Religion Foundation annual conference in Hartford, and I had to end that presentation by saying, "Now we're waiting for the judge's decision." And that was disappointing, so this is part two. And I know you're probably all tired of hearing about me. I am. I'm done hearing my own voice. But today I can tell you that the decision was made, and we won. And everything has changed for me in the last few years, and I really like to reflect on what's happened, because it's a lot. I was born and raised in Rhode Island, and I spent my entire life there, and I started attending Cranston High School West as a freshman. I was 14 years old, and the town I grew up in, Cranston, is overwhelmingly Catholic. In fact, Rhode Island is the most Catholic state in the country, which most people don't realize. I don't think most people think about Rhode Island, actually. growing up there, I always knew that I wasn't exactly welcome to share my real beliefs. And I continued to call myself a Catholic, which I was born and raised, I was baptized, until the day that I came out to the entire world as an atheist. It started at the end of my freshman year, in spring of 2010. And I saw the prayer banner for the first time in the school's auditorium. And like I said, I was only 14 years old. And although I was not out of the closet, I had been an atheist since I was about 10 years old. And as a side note, lots of people don't believe that I was able to think for myself at age 10. And for a while, I started thinking that maybe my memory's off. Maybe I was older, and I started doubting it. But then my 7-year-old brother came up to me and said, if God is real, then why doesn't he show us? And I was like, nah, there's no way. I was too young at 10 to be having those thoughts. But anyway, I had seen this banner, which wasn't actually a banner at all. People call it that. The media, I think, started that. But it was actually a 6x8 mural that was painted on the wall of the school's auditorium. And I knew almost immediately that it was wrong to be in a public school. I was young, but I wasn't dumb. And I had a better understanding of most adults do of the US history. But like most people, I didn't know what I could do about this. I thought of going to the principal's office and just reminding him that it was there, because he must have forgotten. If it's there, then he just doesn't know about it, right? And so at 14, I had no idea. I was naive. So I contemplated what could be done, and I did a lot of research on the Constitution and American history. And by the time I finally decided that I wanted to report this to the administration, school had already gotten out for the year, and I thought I would have to wait until school started up again in the fall. Coincidentally, and this is a coincidence, which most haters don't believe, I'm a puppet. Did you know that? But that summer, a private group rented out the auditorium for a recital, and the mother of one of the girls in the recital noticed the prayer. And as a secular Jew, this prayer was unsettling for her. Also in the audience that night was her mother-in-law, who was a Jewish Holocaust survivor. And they don't tell you this in school, but Hitler was a Catholic. She worried that when her daughters were old enough to be attending the high school, they would be going to that school, they would be reminded every time they were in the auditorium that the Catholic faith was preferred in our area, that they would feel out of place and that they would feel less valued by their school and by their community. So she went home and she decided to write to the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU. And the ACLU sent a letter to the school simply saying that they had become aware that there is a prayer displayed in the auditorium and that it needed to be removed because it violated the First Amendment rights of the students. That summer, the school committee put together a subcommittee to discuss what their options were. Of course, there really weren't options. In this country, we vote on many things, but we don't vote on people's rights. Or we do, but we shouldn't. And that's no matter how insignificant they might seem. This prayer seemed insignificant to a lot of people, but that doesn't give you the right to violate my rights. But they informed this subcommittee. They formed the subcommittee and started holding public meetings, and members of the community could come and share their opinions and thoughts and concerns. And when I read that this issue had been brought up, I was so happy and relieved. I thought, well, awesome, now I don't have to do anything, right? But I was really invested, and I wanted to reach out to that mother and show her that she wasn't the only person who felt the way she did about the prayer. And I wanted to show her support, just like you guys did for me. Now, keep in mind that I didn't know the atheist community existed at the time. I was young, and I had just turned 15, and I didn't know. I didn't know what the ACLU was until that year, and I certainly didn't know that this whole community existed. So, since realized I was an atheist, I had believed that I was the only one out there, with the exception of a few family members I had and a couple of friends. So I did the only thing I thought of, which was I went on Facebook. And that works really well. I created a group specifically about removing the prayer. And guess what? I was literally the only person in the group. That Facebook group is a really, it's very reflective of how I felt through all this. I had that group for months, and once school had started up, I would come home every day to check and see if anyone had joined, and no one did for months. But I was excited. I really wanted someone to join my group. So in November of 2010, as a 15-year-old sophomore, I attended the second public meeting that the school committee was holding. When I got home from school that day, I just, like, skimmed through my homework as fast as I could and went online to find those foolproof arguments that proved prayer in school was illegal. I wrote down some quotes and facts that I'm sure you're all familiar with on a little index card and went off to this meeting. I had to get a ride from my dad. Okay, I was really young. I still am. I just... And I was naive. I believed that when I got to the meeting, these educated and elected administrators and lawyers and politicians were gonna say, oh, we forgot it was there, we'll take it down because of course that's illegal. That's not exactly what happened though. I got to that meeting and there were only about 15 people in the room, but I was so nervous that I didn't even wanna take my coat off. It was like a security blanket or something. All my life, I have absolutely hated public speaking. Just so you know. And I've always been shy and I've always been afraid to share my thoughts and opinions with other people. But at this meeting, I was so confused and upset by what people were claiming about our country's history and constitution that I decided that I had to speak. And I was literally shaking and my voice was so soft, it's amazing that people were even able to hear me. And I said, as an atheist student, this prayer discriminates against me. And don't get me wrong, I knew that atheism was unpopular and taboo, but I had no idea how much so. And I had no idea in my community. As soon as the words were out of my mouth, someone let out an audible gasp, and another person whispered, "That little witch," under her breath. I was shocked, intimidated, scared, but I was also really angry. Not only did I find it incredibly distasteful and rude to be gasping and calling young students names, but the people that followed me to speak were lying through their teeth. It was like someone was reading all the worst YouTube comments. This is a Christian nation, our founding fathers wanted it to be that way, or there's only one atheist, so why should we do what the minority wants? Or just, you know, simple, dumb things that you hear all the time. And I had said that prayer didn't follow, the prayer in the school was not obeying by the concept of separation of church and state. And in this case, prayer was the church and school was the state. I thought that was pretty simple. But this priest who had come to the meeting smirked at me and said, "Honey, Russia had state schools. We certainly don't want that." It made me so angry that I decided to speak again that night, even though I was so scared. And like I said, I was intimidated, but I had to do this because he's wrong. And so I did, I spoke again. And people were, you know, verbally pounding the table and trying to take away our rights. And so the next time I spoke, I noticed how good it felt to say, "I don't believe in God," and to just let them squirm and to not care. I had been pretending all my life, my short life, and standing in front of people who hated me for it, and I didn't have to care anymore, and it felt really good. And it didn't matter what they thought, because I was there to talk about my rights, and I have every right to proudly share my opinions with the world, and I'm not going to stop. So that night, a video camera was stuck in my face, and I was on the local news, just for being an atheist. It's really that easy. I was so shaken up, though. I had honestly thought that the meeting was just a formality and that no one would actually be saying that it should stay up because, you know, they're educated adults and stuff. But I learned that easily the biggest lesson I learned in all of this was that there's a difference between an adult and a grown-up. An adult is someone who can vote, someone who has aged into it. A grown-up is something that you have to earn. If you're a grown-up, you've earned that. You're grown-ups. And up until that night, I thought that stuff like this only happened in the South. Sorry, Max. And I went online that night, and I found that my Facebook group had exploded. In a few hours, over 150 people had joined. That seemed like a lot at the time. And were wishing me support, and eventually the group reached over 6,000 members on that Facebook group alone. That's a big part of how I got through this. And I don't know if I, well, maybe I could have gotten through it, but I don't know if I would still be sane if I hadn't had that. And the average high schooler doesn't exactly watch the news and keep up to date on what's going on in their community. So a few people at school knew what was happening and no one really brought it up. But silly me, caring about our rights, I kept researching and speaking at those meetings to convince them to remove it. And that's kind of when everything started getting crazy. The next meeting was February 2011, and that meeting was much larger. They had spent the time between November and February wishing everyone a very forceful and italicized Merry Christmas, and while also finding more outraged people to come to the meeting, and, you know, that damn pesky minority. And so there were maybe 100 people that night, and I don't think most of them knew why they were there, because a lot of them were talking about abortion and, like, America's borders and random stuff, the economy. I don't know. This older woman who was there said something about how the prayer in the school reminds kids to be good and not get pregnant, and then she pursed her lips and looked over at my friend and me, and, like, really? Really, you don't know me. The meetings went on and on, and in March of 2011, they held the last meeting where the full school committee voted on whether or not they were going to keep the prayer up. And at that meeting, over 250 people were in attendance, and all but six were wearing signs that said, "Keep original banner." Have you noticed that? They really like signs. Like, they like to talk over their time, and so they usually get cut off, but they have to remind you of how they feel, even when they're not talking. So they wear signs, of course. And understandably, these people were intimidated by, and the elected officials who were on the school committee were nervous. You know, they feared for their jobs. And I'm not making excuses for them. I don't really like any of them. And so after 6 hours of this meeting, I remember getting out of school, which is a six-hour school day, and going to this meeting, and the meeting was longer. They voted 4-3 to keep the prayer up. And, you know, as you would assume, I was devastated. I had spent so much time and invested so much energy and commitment into this, and I felt like I'd been punched in the stomach, that I had, you know, really just kind of been belittled the whole time, and nobody took me seriously, and politics was more important than doing the right thing. And so it was easily the most frustrating day of my life. But just because some people tried to vote on my rights does not mean that I was going to settle for that. They're politicians. That means they're popular. That does not necessarily mean that they're smart, and it certainly does not mean that they have the power to take our rights away. But they try to, all the time, and I was faced with this issue, and I decided that I needed to see it through, and I needed to get the help of the ACLU, and I filed a lawsuit, Alquist versus City of Cranston, in April 2011. And the morning after we filed, I came into school, and I went to homeroom, like I do every day. And the morning announcements came on, and everyone rose, said the Pledge of Allegiance, but during the appropriate moment, all of the students turned and screamed, "Under God," at me, and of course, and I was actually surprised by that. I'm surprised that I was surprised, but yeah. And I should have expected it. I really didn't know what to expect. And the teacher did nothing. And I knew that reporting it was useless because most of the administration hated me anyway. So I just sat back down, and from that morning on, I refused to say the Pledge of Allegiance. I haven't said it since. I refuse to take part in something that is used as a weapon. This is not One Nation Under God. And personally, as a side, I think it's utterly sick that on the first day of kindergarten, we have five-year-olds memorize how to pledge their allegiance. They don't know what allegiance means. And of course, as I'm sure you know, Under God wasn't even added until the 1950s, which is coincidentally the same decade the prayer was first put in the school. And so it's funny when they tried to say, Well, it's okay to keep the prayer because we say under God in the Pledge of Allegiance, and that's okay. No, that's not okay either, sorry. And basically, the school was not a friendly atmosphere for me anymore. This was the kind of thing that happened every day. The students weren't the only people trying to make my life miserable, though. The administration and members of my community were inexcusably unconcerned about my daily treatment and often made things even worse. During Diversity Week, this school has little presentations about discrimination, bullying, racial topics, etc. And while in my sophomore year, the Diversity Week team decided to invite the mayor, Mayor Fung, to speak to the students about minorities and how as a Chinese American, he had succeeded in the world of politics. After he finished giving his nice little speech, someone asked, "How do you feel about the prayer?" We were in the auditorium, and he pointed to it and he goes, "I want to see that prayer stay exactly where it is." And he said, "I have a law degree, and this doesn't discriminate against anyone, and I'm Catholic." And so all the students in the auditorium jumped up and started cheering and clapping. He's the mayor. He's not exciting. But they were glad. And of course, he was pandering for votes. And shortly after, an autistic student raised his hand and tried to explain why the prayer was illegal. And the mayor just kind of dismissed him. And none of the 10 or so teachers in the room offered to let me leave or do anything to calm anyone down. They just let this go on crazy and totally off topic. And I just had to sit there and let them all stare at me for the remainder of the presentation. And that wasn't the only thing either. One day while I was in English class, my friend's boyfriend texted her, and yeah, we texted in school, and to tell her that in his class they were debating prayer, and, you know, the prayer, and kids in the class were threatening to beat me up. And also my friend, who had been at my side. And she's been at my side from the very beginning. I'm very lucky to have her. We've been best friends since 7th grade, and we're still best friends now. And I think her parents blame me for her being an atheist, but it's not my fault. But anyway, this obviously scared us, and so we went to guidance, and we had to get dismissed early from school that day. And there were afternoons when I would come home crying. To be honest, I was pretty miserable that whole time. People who I'd once been acquainted with wanted nothing to do with me. I didn't even see my friends very much because even though they still liked me as a person, they didn't want other people to hate them for associating with me. Even just walking down the hall to use my locker was a struggle because people would yell things and people would stop me in the hallway. But really, I didn't know what to expect. I still hadn't had it as bad as it was gonna get. I thought I was. I was acting like it. I was really whiny. And things got much, much worse. In January of 2012, I received a phone call from Stephen Brown, the executive director of the Rhode Island ACLU, and he simply said, "Hey Jess, we won." And I was thrilled. I was so thrilled that I was like, "Shut up!" to this esteemed lawyer. And more than excitement, though, I was really relieved. I was relieved to have won the lawsuit, but I was also relieved that this was finally over. This nightmare of a high school experience was finally done, and everyone could just forget about what happened, and my life could go on as normal. But that's not what happened. Again, the very night I won, the craziness started. People took to social media to express their sincerest hate for me. And the Twitter and Facebook absolutely exploded with death threats and rape threats and other terrible things. I'm not even going to get into that. My favorite, and I mean that ironically, of course, was OMG, she almost as bad as blacks. Let that sink in. But yeah. Kids who I had known since kindergarten were threatening my life and insulting my character fundamentally, saying that I was a bad person, that I was a freak, that I should die. People said I should be gang raped and my family should lose their home and live out of boxes on the streets. Some of the kids who I had classes with warned that they were going to throw things at me if I came to class. Other people threatened my family and claimed to know the license plate numbers of the cars my family members drove. Wow. Forget about that. My home address was posted online, and I'm the oldest of four. I have an 11-year-old brother and a 7-year-old brother who I was worried about every single day. I have a little sister who's 15. She goes to that school, and I had to worry about them the whole time I was in class because these people seemed to have no limits. And my daily life was very scary. One day, I got home from school, and I was walking up my driveway, and a group of kids drove by screaming out the window that they hate me and hope I burn in hell. They had followed me home. The threats became so terrible, in fact, that the city decided to provide me with police officers who followed me around from class to class every single day for weeks. And I don't need to explain to you how that made learning and having a normal high school experience impossible. The community as a whole was doing everything they could to make me feel hated and out of place. They wanted me to leave. They literally said, get the hell out of here. And there's this organization who tried to send me flowers, Freedom From Religion Foundation or something like that? Yeah, those guys. They contacted four different local flower shops, and I know you just heard about this, and they all refused to send me flowers. But you know Annie, Lori, and Dan don't give up, and they were mad. And they eventually found a flower shop in Connecticut that agreed to send me flowers, you know, that evil little Satan girl. And the atheist community was so glad that someone had finally not been a bigoted jerk that they sent me so many flowers that I was not able to see my floor. And I'm amazed that I didn't suffocate in my sleep. And the owners are really nice people. I know you saw that video, and they were quoted saying something like, we're thankful for the business and praise, but this is our job. We don't really need to be praised for not discriminating against people. And I actually know them personally now, and they're really good people. And I believe that they're atheists too. And of course, you all know about Evil Little Thing. I can't seem to get away from that. I was actually introduced as an Evil Little Thing at the Reason Rally, in front of 25,000 people. And they presented me there with a check for over $62,000. And that was a scholarship fund that Hemet Mehta had started, the Friendly Atheist. And that's so that I can go to college. And it's, here's to a better future, I suppose. And it was really meaningful to have the people who had donated in front of me. J.T. Eberhard had started making t-shirts that read Evil Little Thing, and of course, and he was selling them, and the profit was going into my scholarship fund. So thank all of you who did that for me. That's one of the greatest things that's come of all this, obviously. Eventually, the subcommittee held the final meeting to discuss whether or not they were going to appeal the judge's ruling, the ruling that we had won. In the weeks leading up to that meeting, my wonderful Uncle Steve, who everyone thinks is my father, who also founded the Humanists of Rhode Island, which is a very big group. I mean, we don't have that many people, but it's a big group. And he sent out email and Facebook alerts, and he did everything he could explaining that we really need people to come to this next meeting to show support for the court's ruling so that they don't make the idiotic decision of appealing, which they couldn't afford. The school's already in debt, and they spent over $150,000 on this lawsuit, paying my lawyers because they had won. They all worked pro bono. But of course, who got blamed for that? I did, of course. And, you know, my uncle was successful, though. People did. They came from out of the state. They drove for hours just to be there at that one meeting and stand in the rain so that we could all get into this meeting. They had to, what was it? They sent police in to the building that we were having the meeting in early so that they could search the building for bombs. I'm not kidding. It's that ridiculous. And also they tried to make it sound like the atheists were the ones who did it, of course. But like I said, people came, and that meeting had hundreds of people, and it was just as hilarious as it was scary, really. There were signs everywhere, screaming, people, lunatics, all you can imagine. And after hours and hours of people speaking, on a positive note, it was more people on our side than the other side at this time. And they decided not to appeal. And I believe that was a 5-2 vote. And so we won, and it's over now. And yeah, the hate continued for a little while after that, but overall, I came out of this far more positive than negative. The support I received was infinitely stronger than the hate. And again, thank you for all of that. This is a great group of people, and I'm so glad I found this community because they've given me a lot more than I would have expected. Thank you.